This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Frank Friedman joins me live in studio. He is the president of Piedmont Virginia Community College, PVCC. What is it, pvcc.org?
pvcc.edu.
.edu, of course. What am I thinking? pvcc.edu. Frank, how are you? It's good to see you.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me back on the show.
Absolutely. How was your summer?
Summer's great. Summer's always great.
Yeah. Did you get out of town at all? Did you get to the beach?
We got away to the beach for a little bit. But summer's a nice time on campus. Things slow down a little bit. You get to think. You get to plan. It's just an enjoyable time.
Is there a big summer program there? I'm clueless.
We have about 2,000 students during the summer.
Wow. Now that's a lot.
Yeah. We have over 5,000 now, so to us it feels small.
Now you're, the new year has started, that's
yes.
right? So give us the details about the new year. I heard enrollment's actually up.
Well, enrollment is way up. We're looking at about 5,150 students, which would be about 300 more than we've ever had in any semester in our history.
Wow. Gosh. Now, what explains that?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. A lot of it is driven by the recession. An awful lot of folks, as you know, are out of work or they're worried about being out of work. And they realize they need to go back to school, develop some new skills, prepare for a new job. So we see an influx coming to us from that sector of the population. But then also our younger students and their families are looking at the high cost of a four-year college or university. And since we have guaranteed admission agreements with every public college in the state and most of the privates also, they can come to us for the first 2 years, transfer successfully, and save a lot of money.
Yeah. The more I know and learn about this stuff, the more it just seems like such a rich alternative. It's a new option that just wasn't there in years past. I mean, this is an incredible option to have this. The smaller classes in your first and your second year, get to know your professors more, and then you can transfer and get, for example, a UVA degree at a fraction of the price.
Yeah, we think so too. We transfer about 500 students every year all over the country. About 100 of those 500 transfer to UVA, which makes us probably the largest supplier of transfers to UVA of any college around. And students, well, just in tuition alone, if you come to us for 2 years as opposed to UVA, you save about $15,000 in tuition. And then if you throw in
wow.
room and board savings, if you're living at home, you can save $30,000 in 2 years and put that towards your UVA education for the last 2 years.
Holy cow. That is amazing. And you have people doing this right now.
Oh, we have plenty of students doing that, yes.
Yeah. How does that work, this guaranteed admission, for people who are new to that and might not be aware of that? That is a relatively new thing.
Yeah, we've always been able to transfer students to UVA. The new wrinkle is that it is a guarantee if you earn a certain grade point average. For UVA, you have to graduate from us with a 3.4 GPA. Other schools have different GPA requirements. Some are as high as 3.6, some are as low as 2.2. Each school has a little bit different agreement with us, but what's different is it's a guarantee. You take our curriculum, you graduate, you earn the GPA, you're guaranteed admission.
Yeah. We are talking with Frank Friedman. He's the president of Piedmont Virginia Community College, online at pvcc.edu. One of the other exciting things you have going on this year is a new science building is underway. And I was telling you before we went on, the last time I saw it, it was a shell. But you tell me they're putting the bricks on the darn thing.
Yeah, the bricks are going on the
exciting.
Building. We're told we should be in the building in March, which means by next summer semester we'll be offering some classes in there. It's a building we need today. We needed it a few years ago, actually. So we're very anxious to see it get online. You have to understand, looking at our enrollment, if you just go back 4 years, we had 4,100 students. Now we have 5,100 students.
Wow.
You need a place for them. So we need new space. We're really short on space, and that's one of our challenges. So we're very anxious for the Kluge Moses Science Building to come online.
Yeah, and this is all new labs and research facilities.
Yeah, it'll be beautiful. Yeah.
So I imagine your faculty's pretty excited, too.
Yeah, the science and the health science faculty will be housed there, and their programs will be housed there. And as you say, what's really special is each of those programs requires a very specialized laboratory. And they'll get all new laboratories. And yes, I think our faculty are very anxious for the building to open.
Yeah, this is great stuff. So with this new enrollment and more students than ever in its history at PVCC, I imagine it is a little cramped. I mean,
yeah,
we're
struggling a little bit to make sure we have adequate parking. We've scheduled classes in our boardroom, in a conference room.
Wow.
I was telling somebody this morning, if our bathrooms were a little bigger, I think we'd have classes in there. But we're managing.
It's a great problem to have.
It's a good problem to have. And you have to remember, the mission of a community college is to educate everyone. The greatest sin we could commit would be to turn people away who want an education. So it's our job to figure out how to accommodate them.
Yeah, and make it work.
Yes.
Get them in there, get them in a seat, and make it work, and start the process. What's this about the Monticello Visitor Center? Speaking of buildings and infrastructure here, let me ask you about that. That, you know, folks who've been around here for a long time know that that was the building down on 20, right at the entrance to your campus.
Yes.
But they're moved out of there.
Right. The building is right now vacant. And it has gone through a very long and unfortunately bureaucratic process through the state. But thanks to the generosity and the foresight of the city of Charlottesville and Albemarle County, that building will revert to Piedmont Virginia Community College any day now.
Yeah.
We will own the building, and we will then renovate it to make it a workforce development center. It will give us, it's about 10,000 square feet, it will give us space for many of the programs that we do short-term training, especially for people right now who need quick, you know, one semester short-term training in order to get a job. And we can house that kind of training in that building. And that will, once again, help us with our space problems.
Yeah. Well, that's a no-brainer. I mean, the place was right adjacent to your campus. And
yeah, and we used to own
lots
it.
Lots of parking. Oh, no kidding.
Once upon a time, it was PVCC's building, yes.
Really?
Long story.
I never knew that.
Yeah, long story.
What
but
was
now
it originally,
it's coming
then?
Back to us. It was built for the Bicentennial in 1976. And through a it's a long, involved history, but we're just pleased it's coming back to us. The deed is now circulating for signatures, so any day now we should have ownership and we can start the renovation.
So give me an example. We're talking with Frank Friedman of Piedmont Virginia Community College. An example of a type of program that might take place in that building.
We do a lot of training of certified nurse assistants, you know, folks who work mostly in you know, nursing homes and facilities of that type. We do a lot of training of home health aides. There's great need for them in our community. We do an awful lot of short-term computer training. If you had a new software package here at the station and all of your employees needed to learn that software package, you could come out for a one-day workshop or a half-day workshop in our computer lab, learn that, and go back to work.
I see.
We will do all of that kind of short-term training in that facility.
And that's a perfect place to do it with the
parking. Yeah, it has a huge
parking
lot.
Yeah.
It's very convenient for people to drive in, get
right off
the course
highway,
they
yeah.
need, and head out. And it's a little bit separated from campus, so it can be self-contained, which is what we really wanted, because it's not really all that convenient to be walking from that building to all the other buildings on campus.
Yeah. It's a big hill.
Yes, it is.
Frank Friedman is the president of Piedmont Virginia Community College. You can learn more online at pvcc.edu. And if you've got a question, it's 977-1070. Frank, let's talk about money. Everybody's hurting these days, especially the state and universities. What are you hearing out of Richmond about what this state budget crisis means for the college?
Well, I don't want to sound like I'm whining, because you're exactly right. Cities, counties, every public agency is suffering under this recession. But it is a particular challenge for community colleges and for PVCC. And the reason is simple. if you were running a business and you had more customers than ever, they were beating down your doors to buy your product or your service, you'd be taking in more revenue, you'd be hiring more people, you'd be expanding. Well, we have that demand. We have the students beating down our doors.
More students than ever in your
more
history.
More students than ever. But in the last 18 months, our budget has been cut 15% by the state. So instead of what logic tells you that we should be adding more faculty, adding more staff, expanding our services, unfortunately, we're forced to get tighter and tighter and tighten our belts more and more, even though we have all these students coming to take advantage of what
demand
we offer.
Demand is up. Demand is up and supply is down.
Yeah. What happens, and this is unfortunate from my point of view, that basically the only choice we have to replace the revenue that we're losing from the state is to raise tuition. And that's why the state
where
board...
Where else are you going to turn?
Yeah, the State Board for Community Colleges has raised tuition pretty substantially each year over the last 4 or 5 years. But it's the only other source of revenue that we have, because if our revenue dips too low, we can't offer the classes people want. We can't offer the programs people want. They would get stuck in the middle of their education and be unable to finish. And that would be the worst possible situation.
Gosh, it's sort of bleak. What's the next step in all of this? I mean, is there some announcement or...
Governor Kane, back during the summer, when he talked about the latest revenue forecast for the state, indicated that another round of budget cuts is imminent. At that time, he had all of the colleges and universities submit plans for how we would absorb or how we would deal with a 5% budget cut, a 10% budget cut, and a 15% budget cut. Now, this is about the third time we've gone through this exercise. Yeah. And we submitted those plans to the governor's office back in, early August. And the word we have is that sometime next week, Governor Kane will announce just how large the budget cuts are going to be. And so we're waiting to hear. And once he tells us whether it's 5% or 10% or whatever it will be, we will have to adjust our budget and take actions to bring our budget in line with those cuts.
Yeah, and I guess UVA is preparing to do the same thing.
Yeah, all the colleges and universities. We had a meeting of all the college and university presidents just last Monday, and as you could imagine, this was the main topic of conversation, how we're all preparing for this and how we're going to try to handle it.
Frank, I saw Bob McDonald speak recently down in Danville, and a clerk of court stood up and said, I have cut everywhere I know to cut, and the next round of cuts is either we close the court or I start firing people, in which case the services of the court and the ability of people to use what the court has and what they need suffers substantially. So no matter what happens, I mean, this next round of cuts this fall that we're looking at that will echo, you know, into the winter, this is going to be really tough, especially here in this town with two fantastic colleges.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation for all of us. You can always cut around the edges, try to keep your core services, which for us is teaching and learning, keep those intact as much as you can, and that's the approach we take. But as I've told the faculty and staff, if this cut exceeds 5%, it's going to cause us to have to consider either the cutback or elimination of certain services or programs that we offer to our students. It just won't be possible to continue business as usual if the cut gets up to 10 or 15%. And what that basically means is if you eliminate a service to students, you save money, unfortunately, by reducing staffing in that service. Yeah. And we're obviously hoping that is not the case. We're trying to do everything we can to avoid that situation. But if the cuts are large enough, we're going to have to cut back in some areas.
Yeah. And UVA, of course, all the colleges across Virginia weighing the same dilemma here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's important for people to understand, and I wrote down a few figures to guide me here. When you look at state funding per student to the college, which is what how we, you know, look at our funding. In the year 2000, so go back 9 years, we were getting a little over $3,800 per full-time student from the state. Here we are 9 years later, and instead of $3,800, we're now at $3,600. So it has actually gone down on a per-student funding basis. Now, if you just figured in inflation at just a very low rate, like 2% over those 9 years, we would need $4,600 per student this year to run the college the same way as we were 9 years ago. So we're about $1,000 per student short in state funding of where we should be, just to stay level with where we were 10 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's very real. I realize it's easy for the public to think, oh, they're, you know, public employees, state employees, they're just complaining or whining again. It's very real.
Yeah,
and our faculty and staff really feel it.
But the services that those public employees offer to our citizens, and the impact that those services have vis-a-vis an education, and the ability of this person now to go out into the community and impact the community with that education, whether it's as an entrepreneur or a teacher or a nurse, or, you know, the list goes on and on. That's incredibly profound.
Well, the way we look at it, when the state puts money into education, it's an investment. It's an investment in the future, because the better educated our citizens, the more productive they're going to be as workers, the better the economy of the state is going to be in the long run, the more involved they'll be as citizens to help make our democracy successful. The state puts money into education because it feels it's a good investment. Well, the state is having to cut back on its investment. And obviously, we worry what will be the long-term impact. We are facing, for the very first time in history, that this generation of Americans, this generation of Virginians, a smaller percentage, will graduate from college than the last generation.
For the first time.
First time in history, unless something happens to reverse the current trend.
Because the public monies cannot...
Yes, it's because college is becoming so expensive,
yeah,
and too many students are opting not to go on to college, not to graduate. We are concerned, we as educators, we as Virginians should be concerned that these are our workers of the future. You know, when I'm old and collecting Social Security, it's the kids who are at PVCC now who are going to be making the economy work, paying the taxes that are going to help me continue to survive.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we need to educate this generation just as well as our generation was educated.
Yeah. Now, my particular bent, of course, is history, so I can't sit here and but think of the fact that publicly funded education was born right here,
yes,
in Charlottesville.
I
mean, it was Thomas Jefferson's dream. He recognized this is an investment. We need to take tax money and put it into schools to get these kids educated at a time when, you know, just the free market system was running schools. It was a totally libertarian thing in the colonies. If you could afford it, you could hire a teacher. If not, you were screwed. And you know, nobody really cared ultimately. And Jefferson said, we've got to educate the people. This is good for America, good for Virginia.
And what we have seen in Virginia, again, if you go back just 10 years ago, the state put in $3 to the community college system for every dollar we collected in tuition. So 3/4 of the money we had was from the state. In 10 years, that has eroded to the point where now it is 50-50. $2 state, $2 tuition. What's happening is that instead of putting taxes in and using taxes to make sure everyone can afford college education, we are basically saying, if you want an education, you have to bear a larger burden of the cost. You'll benefit from it, therefore you have to bear the larger burden of the cost. It's a fundamental shift in the way we're viewing a college education. It's shifting from a public good that we were all funding through our taxes to a private good that more students, that the students are paying more for, because they're going to be the beneficiaries in the long run.
Yeah. And these families and these individuals are carrying more of a debt load now.
Yes.
And what's the impact of that?
That's going to be, you're exactly right. That's one of the consequences of this fundamental shift in the way Virginia is viewing higher education.
Yeah, it's amazing. We could talk about it all day. Yeah. Frank Friedman, he's president at Piedmont Virginia Community College, online at pvcc.edu. Good luck. It's quite a challenge. I'm sure you're up for it, though. And congratulations on a new year and more students than at any other time in the history of the college. It's very exciting.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.